We're going to read the Word of God, Psalm 106. It's a lengthy psalm to do with the history of the people of Israel, really a psalm to do with the history of God's mercy to a rebellious people. And we're going to read a selection of verses out of it tonight that emphasize that. It talks about Israel's rebellion, Israel's sins, and then God's mercy to them as well. We'll read from the opening verse, we'll start there, and we'll move on down the chapter. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see good, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. And then if you go down to verse 16, there's examples given there of them provoking the Lord. And we're going to take up verse 16 gives us another example. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. And the fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God, their Saviour, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach, to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yet they despised the pleasant land, they believed not his word, but murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. They joined themselves also unto Baal Peor, and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague brake in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas, and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed. And they that counted, and that was counted unto him for righteousness, unto all generations forevermore. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen, and learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. Amen. We'll end there. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word tonight to all of our hearts. We want to take the last phrase of verse 29 and also the last phrase of verse 30 of this psalm. The last phrase of verse 29 says, the plague break in upon them. And then the last phrase of verse 30 said, and so the plague was stayed. And so the plague was stayed. We want to think tonight about that, the plague being stayed. Let's bow in prayer and look to the Lord for his blessing as we do so. Our Father, we thank thee for the Word of God. We thank thee for inspired history and the record that is given in the Scriptures of these things that have taken place in the past. We believe, O Lord, the truthfulness and the accuracy of the Word of God. We thank thee for the spiritual lessons, the prefiguring of the cross that is here, and the sacrifice for sin that's needed to put away the plague. And O Lord, we pray that as we come and dwell upon these things tonight, we ask that thou will bless our meditation in the Word of God, And may we know the Lord speaking to our hearts this night. We ask in our Saviour's name. Amen. Plagues and pestilences have ever been the lot of this sinful world. And they happen for a variety of reasons. As we know, there is a severe pestilence in the world at this very hour. That Ebola outbreak that has started in Africa, and it is, if something doesn't remarkably happen, it's going to spread out and infect many more than just where it is located at the moment. But there's always been pestilences in the world, and as I say, they come for a variety of reasons. There's numerous references in the scriptures to different types of afflictions and pestilences that have fallen upon the world from time to time. And it is particularly of interest to notice in the scriptures that in connection with three separate instances of pestilence, there is a number of statements made about the plague being stead. In fact, there are seven in the scriptures, and we'll draw your attention to them tonight as we go through them. But there's seven mentions made in the Word of God about the plague being stead. And while it might be recording for us historical fact, and these things actually did happen in the history of the children of Israel at different times, yet there is a spiritual lesson and spiritual truths that are being brought out here. And the very fact that there are seven mentions in the scriptures of the plague being stead will immediately stir our interest, because we know the significance of that number in the scriptures. It is one of those perfect numbers. It's the perfect spiritual number. There's other perfect numbers as well. The number 10 and number 12 are, but they are perfect in a different sense. Seven is the number of spiritual perfection in the scriptures. And therefore it is surely of worthy of note that the fact that this phrase does appear. Now, one of them here is found in this psalm that we have read this evening. It is a psalm, as I say, about the history of Israel, and all three incidences that we're going to consider are mentioned here in this particular portion, although we'll have to go back to their corresponding records in Numbers and in 2 Samuel. There's two of them that are mentioned here. Sorry, there's two of them that are mentioned here. Verse 16 will take us back to the first one, and that was the rebellion that took place in the days of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And we have to go way back to Numbers chapter 16 to find the full record of the events of those times and what took place there. But if you turn back to Numbers chapter 16, and in verse 48 and in verse 50, you will find this phrase, "the plague was stead." Numbers chapter 16, and the whole chapter is about the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and we're going to come and mention a few things about it here in a moment. But just to draw your attention to the appearances of this statement. Numbers chapter 16, verse 48, "He," that's Aaron, "stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stead." And then verse 50, "And Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stead." So there's two of these references. That's three now we've got in total, the one in Psalm 106, and now these two that have to do with the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Korah was the ringleader. He was of the tribe of Levi. He was a priest. And yet he led a rebellion against Moses. He was joined by three others. There was Dathan and Abiram and another man called On. And he realized the error of his ways and evidently had forsaken them by the time that the matter came to a head and the judgment of God fell, because there's no mention made of On after the opening statement there in Numbers 16 and verse 1. Where the names of these men are given. And On is mentioned there as one of the three sons of Reuben that were engaged in this rebellion. His name falls out, and it's evidently that he repented and listened to the word that was sped, because Moses spoke to them first of all, and he must have taken heed to the word that was spoken. And even there is a gospel lesson as well, where men need to take heed to the word of God and repent and escape the judgment that was about to fall. But there's 250 others, Numbers 16 and verse 2 will tell you, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown, who joined along with Korah, Dathan and Abiram in their rebellion against Moses and against Aaron. They rose up against those two men and they accused them of taking on too much. Now there's mention made of that in Psalm 106 there where we were reading in verse 16. It says, they envied Moses also in the camp and Aaron the saint of the Lord. They envied. So there's where their sins started. They started envying these men and the position that God had given to Moses and to Aaron. Moses was the prophet of the Lord among the people of God. He was the lawgiver as well. And Aaron was the priest, the high priest, as we know, in Israel. And these men, 250 plus Korah, Dathan and Abiram, they started to envy the offices and responsibilities that Moses and Aaron had, and led this rebellion against them. And it would seem there from Numbers 16, verse 24, we're really just summarizing this chapter, and it's a lengthy chapter, but in verse 24, it would suggest to us that they set up an alternative tabernacle. If you look at the words closely, where Numbers 16, 24, where the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get ye up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Now these men, while they lived in the general same area, or pitched their tent in the general same area of the camp of Israel, it could not be said they lived in the one tabernacle. They lived in the one tent. That was evidently not the case. So the words there would suggest, here are men who set up an alternative tabernacle. An alternative way of worship, and they wanted people to come to them and said, Moses and Aaron take too much upon themselves. And it provokes the Lord. And the judgment of God falls upon this foolish action. And Korah, Dathan and Abiram, and the families of Dathan and Abiram as well, if you look there at verse 28, it tells us that they went down into the pit alive. Moses said, if these men die a common death, then the Lord hasn't judged them. But if a new thing happens, verse 30, and the earth opens their mouth, and they're swallowed up, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And when this took place, the other people in the camp then, when these individuals went down alive into the pit, there were those who started murmuring in the camp of Israel. And that's where the plague came in. Against this murmuring spirit, that somehow God had judged them too harshly, and as a result of that murmuring spirit, there's a plague that begins to spread through the camp. And that's what we read of then at the end there of Number 16, how Moses was instructing Aaron what to do. Run in among the people, stand among the people, and as a result of him being there, the plague was stayed. The plague was stayed. So that's the first one. Then if you turn just a few chapters there in the Bible, Numbers 25 brings us over to the second of these incidences. It's mentioned again in Psalm 106, just as you're turning up, Numbers 25. The Psalm 106 verse 28 talks about them joining themselves unto Baal Peor and at the sacrifices of the dead and provoked the anger of the Lord with their inventions. So we thought about their envying was the source of the sin in the rebellion of Korah, Dathan and Abiram. Here it's their inventions, the things that they got up to. And in Numbers 25, you have a record of it. But the two verses to notice, or the one verse, sorry, here to notice is verse 8. Verse 8, it says, he went, this is Phinehas, he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. So the plague was stayed. And that reference in Psalm 106, verse 30, is also a reference to what Phinehas did. So here's four references that we have come upon so far of this statement in the Scriptures. The plague was stayed. Israel, at this time, Numbers 25, they had escaped the curse of Balaam. And you remember what Balaam sought to do. But the Lord overruled that. But Israel fell prey to an even worse disaster. Because before Balaam left the camp of the Moabites, he did tell Balak and the Moabites how they could get the better of the children of Israel, how he could defeat them and how he could separate them from the favour of God. And he directed Balak and the Moabites what to do. And it tells you there in Numbers 25 and the opening verses, Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their God. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. So while Balaam didn't succeed in seeking to curse Israel, here's something that he did succeed in telling Balak and the Moabites what they could do to get the better of Israel. And here they are committing spiritual and physical whoredom. They're committing whoredom with the daughters of Moab and they're practicing idolatry. Now there's a judgment that comes upon them because the Lord says unto Moses that the people are to be taken and they're to be hung before the Lord to turn away the fierce anger of the Lord. That's to happen, verses 4 and 5. But also then when you go down to verse 9, there's a direct judgment from God because it says those that died in the plague were 24,000. And that's where this man Phinehas, the grandson of Aaron, comes in, because he cannot abide the sin that is found in the camp of Israel, and stirred with this spirit of holy jealousy, we're told that he took the javelin and he followed this man Zimri and this woman Cosby, two impotent sinners, and he slew them. He slew them. You have the portion there, verse 6 on down to verse 8. And the Lord commended Phinehas for what he had done, verse 10 to 13. And he promises him a rich reward for what Phinehas did. And the jealousy that he had for the Lord's honour and for purity in the camp of Israel. And it's this, the actions of this man that stopped the plague. And that's what Psalm 106, that portion that we read there in the appearance of the statement, is about. It was the actions of this man that stopped the plague spreading in the camp of Israel. And the plague was stayed, it says. And then if you come forward to 2 Samuel 24, you have the third of these occasions when the Bible talks about the plague being stayed. And there's two references here in 2 Samuel, and there's also then one more in 1 Chronicles 21, which is the corresponding account there. But 2 Samuel 24, and if you look at verse 21, and 25. The end of verse 21, it tells you the plague may be stayed from the people. This is what David is told to do. And then verse 25 records the fact. David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land and the plague was stayed from Israel. And as I say then, the corresponding portion, 1 Chronicles 21 and verse 22, it records the very same thing, that the plague was stayed. Now here in 2 Samuel 24, this incident now that we're thinking about, that's towards the end of the reign of King David. And David got into his mind that he was going to number Israel. Even Joab knew that that was a foolish thing to do, and the wrong thing to do. And it tells us there, we don't have time to read through the portion tonight, but I'm sure you know the chapter to some degree. But Joab there didn't fully do what was required of him. Joab was told to go out and number Israel from Dan to Beersheba, and he only went out and numbered a portion of it because he knew it was the wrong thing to do. And when a man like Joab knew it was the wrong thing to do, it most certainly was the wrong thing to do. And yet David persisted and told Joab that he had to go on and he had to do it. But even though Joab did not fully comply with what David commanded, the Lord took the will for the deed. The Lord took the will for the deed. David had commanded that Israel be numbered, and this was displeasing to the Lord, and the prophet Gad was sent to him, and he was told it was wrong, and David's heart is smitten, and David realizes it is sin, and he says that in verse 2 Samuel 24, verse 10, David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people, and David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. Now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. And the prophet Gad appears and he tells David, David, there's trouble coming. There's three things you can choose from. And they're listed for us there in verse 13. 7 years of famine, that was one option. Or else he could flee 3 months before his enemies. Or else there could be 3 days of pestilence in the land. Those were the three options that was given to him. And David has to pick one of them, and he says in verse 14, I'm in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. And therefore it was the pestilence that was sent from the Lord's hand. David thought there was more mercy to be received from the Lord's hand than choosing the other two options. He did make a choice. It's not that somehow David here is leaving it open and saying, Lord, you choose whatever it is. David did make the choice. David said, we'll choose to fall into the hands of the Lord, because he's more merciful. And there's a plague that comes upon the land. And that plague was only stopped by the events that transpired at the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. That's a very significant place even to this very hour, because the place that is known here in the scriptures as the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite is the Temple Mount. You look at that in 1 Chronicles, where Solomon built the temple, and it tells you he built it on Mount Moriah and on the place of Araunah the Jebusite. The Temple Mount, where the temple was built, was on Mount Moriah, where Abraham offered up Isaac, or was going to offer up Isaac all those years ago, and where the events of 2 Samuel 24 took place as well. This threshing floor and this sacrifice that David was told to offer in order to stay the plague. And he was commanded that he was to buy the place. And verse 21, 2 Samuel 24 and verse 21, David said that he had come to buy the place and to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. That's what he is to do. And then the next reference of 25 is David having done it, and the plague is stayed. The plague is stayed. So there's those seven references in the scriptures that talk about the plague being stayed. Now what I want to do tonight is to join all three of them together and to notice some common principles that run through all three of those examples. Because there are things that bring them all together. The first thing I'd have you to notice, all of these plagues came about because of sin. An obvious point, but one that's important to notice. They all occurred because of sin. Now every pestilence that occurs in the earth is because of sin in general. Because of the fall. The fall brought trouble. The fall brought pestilences and afflictions upon the creature and upon the creation. And in these three examples that we have thought about tonight, the rebellion of Korah, Dathan and Abiram, the matter of Baal-Peor, and now David's numbering of Israel, on these three specific occasions, sin lies at the root of every one of these plagues that come upon the people. Sin lies at the root. We mentioned the fact, the scripture records, it's envy that brought about the rebellion of Korah, Dathan and Abiram, and the plague that came upon the people for murmuring. So there's two sins that are highlighted there, specific sins, the sins of envy and the sins of murmuring and the camp of Israel. If we go forward to Numbers 25 and the matter of Baal-Peor, it was immorality, it was false religion that brought about the plague there that came upon the people. If we come over now to David and his numbering of Israel, whatever the problem here is, whether it was pride on David's part, and there are some who would suggest that it was pride on David's part that caused him to number Israel. He wanted to know how many soldiers he had as a standing army. But there's also the issue of the fact that he did not ever require for the ransom money to be paid. Whenever there was a numbering of the children of Israel, there was to be redemption money paid, half a shekel. We're told in Exodus 30, verses 11, 12 and 13, that whenever Israel was to be numbered, half a shekel was to be paid by every individual. You can't be numbered in among the people of God without redemption having been paid for. It's a simple principle. And yet it was one David seemed to have forgotten. And whether there may well be a mixture of reasons, it's just not a matter of picking one reason and saying, oh, it's only because David didn't pay the ransom money or the redemption money. That certainly was the case. But what started it all off, it would seem, was to be pride in David's heart. He wanted to know how great his army was. And Joab even told him, let Israel's army be whatever. We're not depending on numbers for victory when we go out to the battlefield. We're depending on the Lord when we go out to fight the battles for Israel as a nation. But David wanted to know. Sin lies at the back of every one of these examples. And whether it's sin in general or whether it's specific sins, they're the cause of troubles in the earth. They're the cause of pestilences in the earth. Why are there pestilences in the earth tonight? It's because of the fact we're in a fallen world. And sometimes there are specific sins that have been committed that bring about pestilences. If you turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 6, and there you have Chronicles' account of Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple, and it's interesting to notice what he prays over here. There's a whole lot of different scenarios that Solomon makes mention of. And here's one of them. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Look at verse 28. If there be dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew, locusts or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore or whatsoever sickness there be, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of all thy people Israel, when every one shall know his own sore and his own grief, and shall spread forth his hands in this house, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive. And forgive. You see, Solomon is acknowledging that the root cause of all of this is sin. And when there's these things, he says, in the land, if there's dearth and pestilence and blasting and mildew and locust and caterpillar, if the enemy comes in among the people and there's a crying unto the Lord, he's looking the Lord to forgive. And surely the inference is there, Solomon is acknowledging that sin lies at the root of these pestilences when they come. Sin brings trouble. And we know it points on forward to a far greater trouble that will come upon the sinner and upon the individual who is not forgiven, who is not repented. We highlighted the fact there a moment or two ago about one of those four men in Numbers 16, and how it seems that he escaped the judgment because he took heed to the word of Moses when Moses warned them initially and told them that they were engaged in rebellion against God. And it would seem, although we're not told specifically, but it would seem that that man listened and repented and forsook the company of Korah, Dathan and Abiram and escaped. Well, when the sinner does not do that, there's a plague that will one day come upon him. There'll be no staying of the plague at all. Sin lies at the root of all of these pestilences and plagues. The second thing that's very obvious here is that in all of these plagues, death comes. In all of these plagues, death comes. Wherever these plagues, these pestilences are to be found, death follows in their wake. In each one of those incidences that we have drawn your attention to tonight, you can mark out that it actually gives you the number of people who died. It's not just some kind of a general death that is mentioned. If we go back through them again, the rebellion of Korah, Dathan and Abiram, it tells us in Numbers 16, 49, 14,000 people died. And from what you read there in that portion, it would seem that the plague was spreading across the camp like wildfire. It was as if it was just moving forward, rolling across the camp. And as it spread, it was cutting down a vast number before it. Until, as we know, Moses said to Aaron, get in among the people and stand there. And stand between the dead and the living. And that is suggesting, it wasn't as if there was some dead over there and some dead over another place and some dead over in another place. That doesn't add up to the record that is given there in number 16. It would indicate to us, as I say, that this plague was just rolling across the camp. And Moses says to Aaron, get you into that space between the dead and the living. And there was a line of demarcation running through the camp of those who had been smitten by the plague and those that hadn't been reached yet by the plague. And Moses says to Aaron, get you in among them, stand between the living and the dead. And the plague was dead. But death had come. It's the same with the matter of Baal Peor. Numbers 25 verse 9 tells us there's 24,000 slain. There's more information given to us in the New Testament. Because in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 8, Paul tells us there, under inspiration, he tells us that 23,000 died in one day. Now the other 1,000 must have died either before or after that day. There's some who pick up on those two portions and they say, oh, there you are. There's a mistake in the Bible. Sure, Moses says it's 24,000 and Paul says it's 23,000. You've got a mistake in your Bible. Not if you read the Bible close enough, because Paul says, 1 Corinthians 10 and 8 is the verse. Paul says there, 23,000 fell in one day. That's the difference. Moses doesn't say that. Moses doesn't say they all fell in one day. He just said there's 24,000 slain in the plague. Paul just picks up on what happened in one day. But again, death visited the camp of Israel because of sin. And with David, it's even worse when we come forward to 2 Samuel 24 and David's numbering of Israel, because it tells you there, verse 15, so the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000. 70,000 men died in Israel that day. It was on the verge of the city of Jerusalem. If you turn up that portion again just to notice that, it was on the verge of the city of Jerusalem when it was stopped. Verse 16, 2 Samuel 24 and verse 16, when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough, stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Araunah the Jebusite. So it had gone through the land from Dan up in the north, right down to Beersheba in the south, and at that particular time it had missed or gone round the city of Jerusalem. But now it's at the gates of Jerusalem. Now it's coming very close. And that's where it stopped. But death comes as a result of sin and these plagues that came upon the people. Death has come. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Is that not the point that has been very evidently illustrated and emphasized here in these examples in the scriptures? Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And these large casualties, these large numbers that are mentioned here, are there to emphasize this truth to us. 14,000, 24,000, 70,000. It's not as if that's just a number plucked out of the sky that means very little. It's there to emphasize something. And it's there to underscore this truth. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. At the basis of all of this, these plagues, these pestilence, there's sin. One sin or another. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The whole world will perish. Not just 14,000 or 23,000 or 24,000 or 70,000. Either the whole world will perish if there's not repentance and if there's not forgiveness. If the plague is not stayed, there'll be far more will perish. How many have perished in the history of the world up until this point in time? How many have gone out into a lost eternity today? How many have even gone out of this province into eternity today? Unsaved, unregenerated, lost, because sin brings forth death. There's a plague that afflicts the world. They may talk about Ebola, and rightly so, and the effects that it's having upon West Africa and other places as well, and people who are losing their lives, and the numbers that are losing their lives. But what about the plague of sin? Many did the plague of sin kill today across West Africa? And many did it kill in our own nation? There's thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands perishing because of the plague of sin every day. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The last thing I want you to consider here that's common to all three of these incidents is that these plagues were only stopped by direct intervention which appeased the wrath of God. In each one of those three incidences, these plagues that came upon the nation of Israel at different times, they were eventually stopped. They were eventually stopped. That's the significance of Psalm 106, if you go back there just for a moment, because it talks here about the mercy of God and how God was merciful to a sinful people, a rebellious people, a people who repeatedly sinned. It wasn't as if it was only a one-off or even something they did twice or three times. They did it again and again and again and again. And yet the Lord had mercy on them. And in verse 1, Psalm 106, verse 1, you find that statement, His mercy endureth forever. We didn't go on down and finish out the chapter, but if you'd read right down to the end of the psalm, it emphasizes this thought, O God, again, verse 47, Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say Amen. Praise ye the Lord. There's reason to praise the Lord because He shows mercy. He stops the plague. And in each one of those three situations that we have mentioned, the Lord stopped the plague. They deserved to die. Far more of them deserved to die. as we could say, the whole world deserves to perish tonight because of the plague of sin. But God is pleased to stop the plague. He stopped the plague by Aaron standing between the living and the dead in the days of Korah. Moses directed Aaron to take a censer, to fill it with hot coals from off the brazen altar, put incense in it to run in among the people and to make an atonement for them. That's what specifically said in Number 16, verses 48 to 46. 46 to 48. It says that Aaron was to make an atonement. That's how the plague was going to be stopped. Aaron, make an atonement. Make an atonement. In the case of Baal Peor, you have it there in Psalm 106 without turning back to Numbers. But Phinehas, it tells us, executed judgment. Verse 30. Psalm 106, verse 30. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment. He dealt with the sin of the day. He followed that man and woman in and he thrust them through. And he dealt with sin in his day. And it tells us the plague was stopped. With this man who stepped forward, this man who was valiant for righteousness, this man who acted in such a way as to stop the plague. Phinehas, by his action, stopped the plague. And then David is told about the sacrifice to make upon the hill. As I say, the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite was Mount Moriah, was the Temple Mount. And we can see the significance of that portion and what it teaches us with regards to a sacrifice on a hill. On that same mountain range, the Saviour laid down his life. Sometime later, years later, the Lord laid down his life in that place on the hill. But it was the sacrifice on the hill that stopped the plague in David's day. And surely we can see the work of salvation there. And illustrated in those three examples, there's atonement that needs to be made for the plague to be stopped. That's what Moses told Aaron. Aaron, make an atonement. Stop the plague. And the plague of sin and the consequences of it can only be stopped by an atonement that is made. There's a worthy priest that must step forward to execute judgment and put away sin. Illustrated in Phinehas. Phinehas was a priest, son of Aaron. He was a high priest. And there he steps forward in order to execute judgment in his day and to stop the plague. And is he not a picture of Christ, the great high priest, the one who stepped forward, the one who alone was found worthy to execute judgment in his day and to put away sin by what he did? And is there not an atoning sacrifice that was offered on the hill outside Jerusalem? Just as David was told by God, you have to buy this threshing floor, you have to buy it of this man, Arunah. And you're to use the wood and the animals that you buy, and you're to make a sacrifice on this hill. And only by that sacrifice on this hill will this plague be stayed. David did it. The plague was stayed. Surely we can see the cross in that. The sacrifice that was made on the hill outside Jerusalem that stops the plague. Oh, not just some plague that's going to slay 70,000, but a plague that's going to affect the whole world. And is affecting the whole world. That will take many, many others down into a lost eternity. More than 70,000. But tonight there's a means of the plague being stayed. And that's through that atoning sacrifice that the greater than Phinehas made. Our Lord Jesus Christ made on the hill outside Jerusalem. That stops the plague. And tonight we can rejoice in the fact that the plague is stopped. And when we see some of those pestilences, even at the moment, some of that film footage of what is going on in West Africa and how people are affected by it, it's a reminder of the plague of sin. It's a reminder. It's as if the Lord is putting a physical picture before the world and saying, this is the consequence of sin in the world. You need the means of stopping the plague. And may it even remind us of the great things that Jesus Christ has done. And how he stopped the plague that was about to devour us. Christ is the answer. And even there in West Africa, may there be a turning to the Lord out of those afflictions that come upon the people. May they have their physical need met as well. And that physical plague be stopped and souls not taken down into hell. It's interesting to notice in the case of David that the devil had a part to play in. 1 Chronicles 21 and verse 1 will tell you that Satan provoked David to number Israel. The pride that stirred up in David's heart to number Israel was something the devil had a part to play in. The devil would long to see souls destroyed. The devil wants pestilences to run in the world. He would stir men to sin so that judgment comes upon them and that they perish. The devil would have men perish. And we rejoice tonight there's a way of stopping the plague. And that's through Jesus Christ. And may we have that saving interest in Him and be trusting in Him. May Christ be the one who is our Saviour and our Deliverer. May the Lord bless His word.